Cardner's description corroborated my own observations, which was reassuring, but it provided me with little guidance on how to help the veterans. The lack of literature on the topic was a handicap, but my great teacher, Elvin Semrad, had taught us to be skeptical about textbooks. We had only one real textbook, he said, our patients. We should trust only what we could learn from them and from our own experience. This sounds so simple. But even as Semrad pushed us to rely upon self-knowledge, he also warned us how difficult that process really is, since human beings are experts in wishful thinking and obscuring the truth. I remember him saying, "The greatest sources of our suffering are the lies we tell ourselves." Working at the VA, I soon discovered how excruciating it can be to face reality. This was true both for my patients and for myself. We don't really want to know what soldiers go through in combat. We don't really want to know how many children are being molested and abused in our own society, or how many couples, almost a third, as it turns out, engage in violence at some point during their relationship. We want to think of families as safe havens in a heartless world, and of our own country as populated by enlightened, civilized people. We prefer to believe the cruelty occurs only in faraway places like Darfur or the Congo. It is hard enough for observers to bear witness to pain. Is it any wonder, then, that the traumatized individuals themselves cannot tolerate remembering it, and that they often resort to using drugs, alcohol, or self-mutilation to block out their unbearable knowledge? Tom and his fellow veterans became my first teachers in my quest to understand how lives are shattered by overwhelming experiences, and in figuring out how to enable them to feel fully alive again. Trauma and the loss of self. The first study I did at the VA started with systematically asking veterans what had happened to them in Vietnam. I wanted to know what had pushed them over the brink, and why some had broken down as a result of that experience, while others had been able to go on with their lives. Most of the men I interviewed had gone to war feeling well prepared, drawn close by the rigors of basic training and the shared danger. They exchanged pictures of their families and girlfriends. They put up with one another's flaws, and they were prepared to risk their lives for their friends. Most of them confided their dark secrets to a buddy, and some went so far as to share each other's shirts and socks. Many of the men had friendships similar to Tom's with Alex. Tom met Alex, an Italian guy from Malden, Massachusetts, on his first day in country, and they instantly became close friends.